I recently had the privilege to sit down with Olivia Walsh, who's a homeschooling and work from home mama, and she actually works for Classical Conversations, our podcast sponsor this month. Olivia was homeschooled herself, and now she homeschools her young children while maintaining her full-time job. And I know so many of us are in this season of balancing and juggling and trying to figure out homeschool, working, being homes, what are we going to do with that? How are we going to make it happen? And so I really think you're going to love getting to hear from Olivia today. We talk homeschooling littles and where to start, how to choose a curriculum, balancing work and home, and so much more. So if you're a homeschooling mama, or if you've been curious about homeschool, if you've maybe thought, you know, I'm a working mom, I work from home, I don't know if homeschool is possible, then this is definitely the episode for you. You're going to want to lean in and listen to this episode all about homeschool. Hey mama, I'm Jenna, and you're listening to the Joy-Filled Podcast. I'm here to help stay-at-home moms thrive by equipping you with tools to help you acknowledge and embrace your season and encourage you to bring joy back into your motherhood. You'll walk away with everything you need to truly experience the fullness of joy in this beautiful season of raising babies at home. So reheat or refill wherever you're at in your day, your coffee, and let's live joy-filled together.
Interested in homeschooling? Classical Conversations can help you lead your child to a world of possibilities by equipping you with a proven curriculum and support from a local community of homeschool families. You're their first teacher. Be their best teacher. Learn how to make homeschooling doable at classicalconversations.com/joy. That's classicalconversations.com/joy.
Olivia, welcome to the Joy-Filled Podcast, and thank you so much for joining us today. I am so, so excited to get to chat with you.
Thank you. I'm excited too.
So I would love for you to just give us a little intro into who you are. Tell us about you, your family. Tell us what we need to know about you.
Sure. So my name is Olivia. I am a mom. I have two boys. They're 6 and 3, and we're expecting our third son this summer. So that's exciting. I have been married to my husband, Ian, for almost 9 years now. And I was homeschooled, and my husband was homeschooled, though we did not know each other growing up. We just homeschooled in two different places. But now I also homeschool our kids. And I know they're 6 and 3, but I really do believe that when you have kids, you homeschool from like the moment they're in your arms.
Yes.
That's just something I believe very deeply. Yeah. So we homeschool our kids, and another homeschool world, I feel like I'm just immersed in the homeschool world.
Yeah.
Is that I've worked at Classical Conversations at the home office for, I just celebrated my 10-year anniversary, which is wild.
That's amazing.
To me, yeah, I was like, oh, that came and went really fast. So I've been serving at CC in just different roles over the years, and that's it.
I love that. I'm excited to, and we'll get into it more here in a bit, but I'm excited to talk more about Classical Conversations because I feel like it's one of those kind of hidden gems in the homeschool world. And I know around where I live and where I grew up, I knew a lot of families who were Classical Conversations families. I didn't grow up homeschooled.
Oh, yeah?
I went to a Christian school, and then when I was in middle school, we went to public school. But I know a lot of families. I knew a lot of families growing up, and then I know a lot of families now that are Classical Conversations families. And so I like have always been drawn to it, and have always just loved the community and the style of homeschooling that it provides.
Yeah,
I feel like not a lot, and maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like not a lot of people know about Classical Conversations. And so I'm excited to just hear from you all about it and hear from you about it.
That's really cool. No, I think that's super cool. Yeah. So I did CC in middle school and high school growing up in South Carolina. But what's so funny is with you saying like not a lot of people know about it, when I was in high school, when I got to my senior year, I was the only student who was 18 who would have done like the Challenge 4, which is the highest program we have. And there were no other students within 2 hours of driving. So there wasn't a class for me that year. So like I was just on my own my senior year. I didn't do CC that year. But now, and that was in the Charlotte area of North Carolina, which is like, if anybody has been in that area recently, it's like just exploded. Yeah, it's huge. Yeah. It's a big business area. That's impossible to say now. So the fact that you knew people growing up who did CC, I think that's so cool. But now it really has grown significantly, not just here in the States, but we have CC Russia. We have CC in South America. Wow. Our Chile and Brazil are like big communities. Military families love to use it because they can continue with it, you know, when they're stationed abroad. And then when they come back here to the States, they can pick right up where they left off when they were traveling. So, it's growing in popularity. And I think it is a special program because, like you said, community, that is really important to basically, if you're involved, you know how involved the community and tight knit it is. You become fast friends and lifelong friends with. I still know people that I did community with as a kid. So, yeah, that's awesome. Really cool.
That's so awesome. So I love that you and your husband both are now like second generation home. You were homeschooled and now you're homeschooling. What about your homeschool experience made you decide to homeschool? Because a lot of the listeners here, we're all kind of in that young, a lot of us anyways, are in that like our kids aren't quite school age yet. And we're trying to figure out like, do we homeschool? Do we sit like, what do we do? What's our plan? And so I would just love to hear from you as someone who has the unique experience of being homeschooled, what about your experience made you decide, yes, this is what I want to do with my kids?
That's a great question because, not everybody who is homeschooled comes to that same conclusion, right? Like I know people who are like, I don't want to do it. Yeah. I know I can, but I don't want to. I'd rather do something different. And then there are others who are more like me, I think. And a big motivator for me was that it's just what's familiar to me, right? I think that's what happens a lot. So you have somebody who, let's just use the example of they go to the public school. Mm-hmm. Well, it's just what you know. So when it's time for your kids to go, that's where they go. Mm-hmm. And I know that that happens all the time.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what it was like for me for homeschooling. Like it's just what I knew. And it felt very natural to me. It wasn't my decision right off the bat. Actually, working at a homeschool company and being homeschooled and having a kid, a lot of my coworkers would just be like, oh, well, you're going to homeschool, right? And I really didn't know because I wasn't planning on stopping working. Mm-hmm. But I also knew that I still wanted to be extremely involved in my kids' education. So I don't even think it had to do with the fact just that I was homeschooled because there's so many different ways you can be educated at home. Yeah. I just knew that I'd been trained how to learn, right? That's part of the classical model of learning is that you learn tools and skills so that you are confident to dive in and ask questions and be curious about the world around you because God made it for his glory. Mm-hmm. And when you're taught that growing up, it's not daunting to say, okay, I'm just going to keep doing that, right? And I'll teach my kids to ask questions. So it just was natural. It was really natural. And then when I decided to keep working, it kind of actually became more important to me to homeschool. I feel like that sounds a little backwards because I'm allocating all this time to working. How can I homeschool? But because I'm working, I know my time is just that much more limited with them that it became kind of imperative to me to make the most of all of those minutes, especially when they're so little, because it goes by so quickly. Does that answer that question?
Yeah, I feel like, okay. Yeah. I think you're so right that a lot of times we just go with what kind of is natural and what's comfortable for us. And I love the perspective you brought up of because you were raised and in this environment of this classical model of
teaching you how to learn. Like, you weren't intimidated by, like, I can learn this too. I can figure this out too. And I think that's one of the many benefits of a program and curriculum like Classical Conversations. And I would love for you to speak to, because I know that there is a plethora of curriculums and models and philosophies and styles of homeschooling, and it can be really, really overwhelming. I'm kind of in the season of figuring out, like, which route do we want to take? And it feels a little bit overwhelming.
I gotcha.
So what led you to Classical Conversations? I know you were raised in that, but I would just love for you to kind of speak on that process of choosing how to choose what style works best for your family.
Yeah, I think that's a great point to bring up. Because I've had so many conversations with this with good friends who were homeschooled or are currently homeschooling, because it's been on my mind a lot, is when our generation was little, our moms, if they were homeschooling, would have gone to, and they still go to conferences, mm-hmm. and they still go to events, but they would have gone specifically to hand pick out my history curriculum. My mom would have said, we're going to use this for history this year. Okay, we're going to use this math text. Basically cherry picked and said, this is, and built it, right? Mm-hmm. A custom little curriculum for our year, for me and the one for my sister. But now everything is so packaged, neatly packaged and ready for you to use, which, I mean, CC, right? CC I had in middle school and up. But other than like a Becca and Bob Jones, you still didn't really have that. You still had to go and say, I'm going to do this specifically in this subject and this subject and that subject. And you would sit in a lot of meetings and try to figure out which one specifically is best. So I really appreciate how robust CC is in their curriculum. Mm-hmm. So it's curriculum, but on top of that, there's additional resources for parents. That's a big important thing in the world of CC, is we don't just want to give you a nice book for you to look through, but we also want to tell you how to use it and how to think with it. And then also we're going to set you up with a whole bunch of other people who are doing the exact same thing, who can come around you and support you, and that you can become a support to others later too. So it's extremely integrated and robust. And I love that about it. But with that, I think there's oftentimes this hesitation that because it's classical school, it's going to be really intense and overwhelming, right? And it's going to be like very rigorous. And what I love about CC, we have, for those who don't know, for the younger students, ages like 10 and down, we have what's called foundations. And it is literally that. It is building a foundation of knowledge for kids. It's just memory work. And I love how simple it is. So that was a big draw for me. It was like, okay, if we have to memorize one history fact a week and one math law a week and one Latin thing a week through song, like, heck yeah, I can do that. I can do that alongside whatever. He can be singing the songs in the backyard and I can be typing on my laptop. Like, awesome.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that drew me to it is how hospitable it is to families that have multiple kids, right? And the way it does that is we have the same science fact. The science fact could be one that we had was like, what are four U.S. space missions? Mercury, Gemini, Apollo, and Shuttle. That's just a fact. And it's in my brain forever now. And it's in my 6-year-old's brain. Right, it's in there. It's just there for whatever purpose it's going to serve in life. But with the 3-year-old, he starts chanting it. He has no clue, but he's chanting it. And my 6-year-old is watching videos of those actual space missions or looking at pictures. And then I know in 3 years, when this cycle comes back around, we're going to read books together. So it's so hospitable for like a 9-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 3-year-old. You can have the same piece of information and just keep building on it. And I think what a gift that is to parents, like a time saver, and just like, that just lifts the burden off of you as a parent to not have to make this one for my 12-year-old, this curriculum for my 8-year-old. Yeah, it just kind of says, this is it. And you do it together as a family. So it's very hospitable. So I, yeah, there's a lot of things I like about it. Yeah.
I love that. I think that's so, I love that you shared that and kind of, I love that you brought up that it's hospitable to families of different ages, because I think one of the biggest, something I've noticed in conversations surrounding like, do we homeschool? Will we be able to? A lot of the times, one of the biggest hesitations is, I don't know if I can handle creating all of, like creating a full course load for each child. Like I, that's just feels like a lot. Like I'm not a teacher. That feels like too much for me. And so I love that you just brought that up and kind of, it seems like it's just very simplified. And I would love to know, first of all, just kind of if you could walk us through, like, what does a week with CC look like? What's the workload? What's the requirement? Like, just talk us through it a little bit. Give us kind of like a behind the scenes look in what your week looks like. And then also I would love for you to speak on like how your kids have benefited from this style of homeschooling.
Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah, so how it looks for me is probably very different from how it looks for the person with the kid who's closer to 10, right? So like I said, my oldest is 6. So, and I truly try to keep it simple. I'm not one of those moms who is going to do a whole big unit study for every history fact, frankly, because I don't have the time. And I want the most important things to get in there right now. That's like my goal. I'm like, okay, what? We do a reading lesson every morning. We do a reading lesson every morning. Sometimes we use the Scribblers. I don't even know if I should call it curriculum. Scribblers at Home product that we have, which is new. So what we'll do is we'll get up in the morning and we'll have breakfast. My kids are early risers, and then once everybody is settled in, I've had some time to be in the Word. I've gotten my husband out the door because I usually pack him a lunch. We will do our reading lesson, which is not necessarily a part of CC, but it's a part of our routine. So it's really easy. Since CC is so simple, it's a lot easier for me to add things to it that I need to add to it. Like right now would be reading. And then we'll go through during the school year, we'll listen to the audio CDs. So CC has a lot of audio CDs, basically for everything that you want them to memorize for the different strands of knowledge. So that might be a history song for the week. And it's just one fact per week, basically. It's one fact per subject per week. So if I am on week one, I'm going to have one history fact, one math fact, one geography fact, one Latin fact, one English grammar fact, and one science fact. So it's really not much. I mean, if your kid's just going to memorize 6 things, and we're going to look at those same 6 things every single day. I mean, that maybe sounds monotonous, but when they're young, that actually gives you a lot of opportunity to be flexible with it. So, so with the younger end, with mine, that right now looks like listening, right? And if there's something that is not in a song form, we come up with hand motions for maybe a science fact. And then for geography, that looks like just pulling out our map and just pointing to the same locations over and over again till I can either say, show me this, right? Show me Northern European countries, and then he'll point to, you know, Finland and Sweden and Norway and Denmark. And that's great. And we'll just do that every day. And that really doesn't even take us an hour. There's no way that takes an hour, especially towards the end of the week after you've done it so many times. And then that frees us up that maybe, and this is what I tend to do. Everybody looks different. But like on a Monday, maybe Monday is when we focus on science. And if we're studying leaf shapes, we take a paper bag and we go outside and I say, find those leaf shapes. Find something that's needle-like and scale-like. And, you know, and so we'll go through that. And let him just go out and try to find it and bring it back and find matches. And then on Tuesday, for us, that maybe looks like, well, let's read some poetry now. Maybe we read, there was, like I said, the U.S. space missions fact. So let's find some poetry about the moon and the sun and the stars. because they need things at this age, especially that's just beautiful and mm-hmm. keeps their interest.
Yeah.
I really think that it does not have to be classical education is not drilling facts into kids' heads just so they can spout it back out at you. It's trying to give them a basis of the world mm-hmm. that God made it. So you can look at God and say, God, look how marvelous you are. Mm-hmm. And then you can worship the Lord with even more fullness of heart. Like we do love the Lord. And every time he reveals himself to us in some way, it should provoke a response of worship. Mm-hmm. And so I want to treat their school that way too. So that's kind of what it looks like for us during the week. It's nothing crazy or intense. It's those six facts on repeat. And then each day we might just focus on something that adds a little extra to our day.
I love that. I love what you said about bringing that, provoking worship and bringing that into their school, because I think that's so powerful. And I love that you brought that up, because it can really be easy to kind of separate our kids' schooling, especially when we're homeschooling. It can be easy to like, okay, we yeah. have our devotion time, we have our Bible time, and then now we're going to shut that, close the book, put that away, and now we're going into school and learning, you know, it's reading, true. Writing, all the things. And I just love how you how classical conversations as a whole just brings it all together. And it's always pointing back to, like you said, just the glory and how marvelous and wonderful God made the world, and teaching our kids to look at the world with those eyes. And I just think that's so special and so needed, especially in our in our society and in our world now.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, because it is so easy to learn all of this information and keep it in this little box mm-hmm. of it just being informative, and then forgetting God and his goodness. And then you think, no, it was revealed to you the whole time. You know, yeah. He was making it blatantly obvious through history. He was making it blatantly obvious through the way in which he made the world, through the sciences. I mean, something Lee Borton's is the name of our founder. And something that she says, paraphrase, because I don't have her exact wording, is basically that math is a is the Lord's language. God speaks to us through math, through numbers, through order, through patterns, and it's displayed all throughout the universe. I mean, even in something as simple as arithmetic, that too brings glory to God, and he reveals himself to us. So absolutely, we do need to see that more. We need kids who grow up knowing that, so that they can go and tell the world who don't know Christ, yeah. right?
Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned a little bit in there about the Scribblers program, and I would love for you to just expand on that a little bit, because I think a lot of us moms in the Joy-Filled community would benefit from something like this. So I would love for you to just tell us, what is the Scribblers program? What do you love about it? Tell us all the things.
Yeah. So Scribblers is a new product from CC, and it is geared towards younger students. So like I was saying, we have the Foundations program, right? And Foundations goes to your kids like 10-ish, sometimes 11. And then after that, you get into Challenge, which is your middle and high school. So Scribblers kind of focuses on the earlier portion of the Foundations program, maybe like, in my opinion, again, like 2 to 8. So it really kind of ends around that 8-year-old, okay. but of course you have to use it as best it serves your family. I would definitely use it with a 2-year-old, just in modified ways. So they are, I think they've called them like recipes, but they're like these little activities that are very brief and enjoyable for you to do with your kids. But the goal behind it is to make using the classical tools of learning really simple and really approachable for families, especially if it's something that you're new to. I'd like to tell you about one of the activities. Is that okay? Because it's probably one of the activities I've used the most with my kids. Just as an example, because when I say they're simple, I mean, they're like 1, maybe 2 pages long explaining it and showing you how to do it. You don't need a whole lot of things to be able to carry it out. And then it's something that you can easily simplify for a little kid or make a little bit more interesting for an older kid. So one that we use a lot is called Pew School. It's just something that you use like in church. And it's going to sound pretty familiar, I think, to a lot of people, because surely you've done this before if you have kids and they sit with you in service. So our kids sit with us in service. And it's things like using the classical tools of naming, attending, memorizing, expressing, and storytelling. They're very simple tools, and we call those the five core habits. They're like the first thing you ever learn when you start doing classical education. And there's other tools that they cover in Scribblers as well. But I'll start doing things with him like, while we're in church, can you identify in the room circles and straight lines and dots and angles and curves? So we're looking at shapes. And then he'll kind of like whisper, and he'll like, or he'll make notes, or like he'll just look around the room. Or it will be, I want you to listen to the sermon and I want you to draw what we're talking about, or whatever he just read, whatever passage of scripture he just read, I want you to illustrate that. And it may sound very simple, but you're actually using classical tools of learning when you do all of this. You're practicing attending, actually. So pew school is the practice of attending to what's going on around you. So we're paying attention to, even as silly as it may sound like it doesn't actually matter, but it does matter to pay attention to like, wow, okay, our windows arch. We're looking at architecture. Wow, okay, we have purple accents on the pulpit right now. I wonder why. You know, why is everything purple right now? Then we can go into like church liturgy and color theory. What I'll do for my oldest oftentimes is I will listen and he'll be listening, and I will write down words and phrases from the sermon or from the passage and then have him copy it. We practice attending by remembering how to sit. What should our posture be when we're in service together? Do we whisper or do we talk at a loud volume? What's appropriate? When everybody's standing up to sing doxology and we lift our hands, what should I be doing? Well, I should probably be standing and lifting my hands and singing along with them, right? So it's stuff like that in the Scribblers. And it's for subjects like Bible. They have poetry. There's science. There's arithmetic. And it's really beautifully done. I use it whenever I can work it into our day. Like today we did arithmetic, and that was truly him looking for patterns on a chart that had 1 to 100. His goal was just to look for like odd numbers. So he started to catch on. He's like, oh, okay, 1, 3, 5, 7, 9. Oh no, I see that here too. I see 11, 13, 15, 17, 19. Oh, I see it again with the 20s. And then he wanted to see evens. And again, that's why it's really for little kids. It's just trying to teach them the gift of discovering God's world and discovering pattern, learning how to name things, learning how to attend to what you're doing, and just instinctively memorizing it, right? So now he's got in his head, just from this morning, 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, that's odds. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, hey, I know a song that goes like that too, right? So that's kind of a little bit about Scribblers. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. I really enjoy it when we use it. And it's one of those things like you could use it on a daily basis, or if you're... So you probably know how some homeschool days are. It's just like, I can barely function today. I don't know how today's going to go. But I at least know, like, I can get everybody together and we can flip this open. And here, let's read a poem and let's go over some of these little tools they've listed here for me as the mom. So it takes, again, like, this is an easy day, but they still gain much from it. Because sometimes you just need those days.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's so awesome. And I feel like it can be difficult to find things like that for our younger kids. And a lot of times, like, I'll see, you know, preschool type curriculum and stuff. But like, we had this experience just this last homeschool year, because I've still been kind of experimenting with things, and I got a preschool curriculum and I was like, this is so boring. Like, I'm bored. I don't want to pull this out.
Oh, no.
And do this with my kids. Why would they want to do it? And so I like was like halfway through the year, I was like, I'm done trying to force us to do this because I'm not even enjoying it. And so I just I think it's so awesome that CC has this new program, Scribblers, to be able to just start that discovery of God's world so early. And from what you've told us, it seems like it's enjoyable and fun for everyone involved, and it's simple and easy and just very child-led, which I enjoy in the preschool years. I'm not trying to sit here and make you like write letters and write like and do all this
boring work
that you
I don't like that either.
I'm trying to make a four-year-old boy sit at the table and write out, you know, letters or trace these letters is like, that's the worst possible thing. At least
like
for my
I feel that. Yes. There have been so many times I've just closed a book and been like, okay, we're done. You don't care about this. We can't do anything. We're done. Yeah. No, but that's so true. Like the Pew School thing I mentioned, like that's one activity and all of them feel very reusable. Like we've done it many times now. Like he hasn't gotten bored of it. He was already asking like if we could go back to that even an odds thing today, and I was just like, not today, we can do it again tomorrow, right? So there are tons of activities. I don't want anybody to think there's just like a handful. There are tons of activities, and it is pretty child-led. I never thought of it that way, so that's interesting that you said that, because you ask them questions and you point some things out, and then it's them making discoveries. So they're enjoying it. Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's so unique and just really a really fun and different way to approach homeschooling. And I know that you mentioned earlier that you are also working while homeschooling. So I would love to touch on that for a little while and kind of camp out there for a bit, because I know that that is a big hesitation. Not every family can manage to have a parent, you know, completely staying home and not working. And like most families need both parents working. And so I would love for you to just kind of talk about how you balance working and homeschooling, what that looks like for you, and how you have made that work for your family.
Yeah. And thank you. I appreciate you wanting to talk about that, because I know that that's true. That's true for a lot of people. I thought that when we were going to have our first, that I was going to stop working. And that just was not realistic. We realized very quickly for ourselves 6 years ago. And maybe I even could stop working now, but now at this point I enjoy it. So that's a big reason why I work. I love what I do. And that's the other thing is a lot of people, even if they could stop, they don't want to. Right. And I respect
that. Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, but I think a big part of balancing homeschooling and working is not viewing balancing as I do everything the exact same way every single day, and that my kitchen is therefore clean and my laundry is also done. And, you know, like balancing those two things is difficult. I think that's just the reality of it. But I don't think that because it's difficult that it is any less worth it or any less rewarding. In fact, I think it's even more rewarding that my kids get to see me. And I work from home a lot. And I also go to the office. Like just a couple weeks ago, I was gone almost all week, every single day. Like it was, that was the reality. So that week obviously was an unusual homeschool week. But then these last couple of weeks, we've spent way more time in our reading lesson, reading Magic Treehouse series, because my son is obsessed with the Magic Treehouse series. And getting like this, like we're right now, we're just getting to talk about homeschool, like and be in community. And so that's the reality of balancing it is some days, like I'm up before the sun trying to get something done. And then my kid comes down and I stop working, or I'm on the phone with somebody while I'm trying to take care of a kid. And I know that that can seem extremely overwhelming to a lot of people, because it is. There are times it's overwhelming, but there's also times that it runs really smoothly. So the first thing about balancing it is just a personally accepting that some days it's work heavy and homeschool light, And other days it is homeschool heavy and work light. And having a team that really encourages me and understands that we homeschool, because a lot of people I work with homeschool at a homeschool company, but they understand. And they are a team that also encourages me to like, no, we know you can do it. It's okay if your kid's trying to talk into the mic because he's very social, you know, while we're on this call. So I am extremely grateful. And I know that that is a benefit and a blessing I have as well.
Yeah.
Trying to work is coworkers who respect that we are a homeschool family and also try to love on my kids as well. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a big blessing. So that's kind of one side to trying to balance it. But also knowing that I have a community, that's another big thing. So I think a lot of times when people want to homeschool, but they're not sure how to do it because they're also working, it's important to very quickly position your mind to one of community, mm-hmm. right? Because the days that I have to go in the office, I might phone a friend and ask if my kids can come over for an hour or two, because that's happened so many times. Or like a family member. Family member is your community too, hopefully. You know, like they can, my in-laws live 3 hours away and my parents live 2 hours away. But if we plan it, they will come and they will come be with my kids because they love that too, you know? Being able to say, and this is not everybody, not everybody's okay with this, but like, we utilize the TV at certain times, or I'll do stuff during a nap time. Like you said, there's a lot that you have to balance. What are some of your thoughts? Because is that okay that I ask you?
Yeah,
I would
absolutely
love to hear your thoughts. Because I know you balance a lot.
Yeah, I think that I love the saying that like balance is a myth. And nothing's ever completely balanced. There's, like you said, like there's times when, you know, things are work heavy. We have a day that is, you know, we like full transparency. There are days when I'm like, I have to be on my computer. And so we're going to have a day where we watch nature documentaries and we are, utilize it. Like I have no problem utilizing the TV. I prefer not to, if I'm going to have a day like that, like I let my kids watch little shows and stuff, but if we're going to have a day where I'm like, I've got to knock some work out and I have to pass the baton on entertaining and all of that, then I'm going to choose things that are hopefully at least educating them and giving them things.
Right. No,
about.
I feel that.
So we love to watch, my son loves like any nature, animal documentary. So we learn a lot about African cats and like all of, you know, the whales and all of those documentaries. There's some great ones, but, so anyways, we use that a lot. And I just, one thing that I have to constantly remind myself of, and like, it's often like I have to look in the mirror and say it to myself, is like, if God has placed it in my life, if God has placed it on my plate, then he has given me what I need to handle it all. And often like what we need when I say that, I don't mean that I can do it all because I can't, but he's given me the Holy Spirit as my helper to sustain me.
Yes, absolutely.
Give me, you know, to give me strength and his, the scripture is true when it says that his power is made perfect in our weakness. And so I surrender my shortcomings. I surrender what I have.
Yeah.
And I let the supernatural strength of the Holy Spirit be enough for me, because it really is like when we come to the end of ourself, that's when God gets to be glorified in our juggling of it all and in our trying to balance it all. I think that sometimes where the overwhelm happens when we're trying to balance, whether it's work and homeschool or work and just taking care of our home or a busy sports schedule or whatever it is, fill in the blank.
Yeah.
When the overwhelm happens is when we're trying to do it all in our own strength. And so I think that if I had to answer the question, like, how do you do it all? How do you balance it all? I would say that I don't. I just really lean on the Holy Spirit as my helper and my friend and my sustainer. And that's where, like, it's, that's
the answer. That's where the strength comes from. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I love that you said that because I was kind of like, man, why am I failing with words here? Like, cause at the end of the day, things do get done. Mm-hmm. Right. But I couldn't necessarily always tell you how it happened.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, I did somehow manage to work 3 hours. Oh, and we also ran to the grocery store. Oh, and we did get that other thing. And you do kind of wonder how you do it. Mm-hmm. But that's so true. Another thing I think for people who want to know about like how to balance it or even just how to do it, let's say they don't even care if it's balanced. They just want to know, feasible? I would say truly it's honestly not, and this probably sounds like a brutally honest thing, but it's not convenient. It's mm-hmm. not convenient to try to work and homeschool at the same time. But I think your goals of pouring into your kids in mm-hmm. another way, in a new way, to the extent that you want to homeschool them and be like the primary investor in their lives and have that deep relationship, mm-hmm. I think it trumps any kind of convenience or inconvenience that it could cause, you know? So sometimes I am absolutely overwhelmed or I have to, my husband comes home and I'm like, this was just such a hard day, mm-hmm. but it's still totally worth it. Right. And it doesn't at all give any sort of doubts as far as I never have a creeping doubt of what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Right. I never have a creeping doubt that maybe we should stick them in the hybrid school. Right. Like that doesn't come in. We have a hybrid school here. That was an option we talked about one time, but it doesn't creep mm-hmm. in because any inconvenience or difficulty, like you said, you just have to lay that at the cross. Mm-hmm. You do. You have to lay it at the Lord's feet and trust that he has given you the strength to do it in him and know that sometimes it looks balanced and sometimes it does not mm-hmm. and that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I've loved getting to chat with you and I've loved just
you too.
Getting to be able to chat about homeschool and working and all the things. And I know that I get asked a lot, like, what are you doing for homeschooling? What do you do? And I'm like, I don't know yet. So I love having somebody come on that's just a little bit further down the road and also being able to hear from your experience as somebody who's homeschooled. You don't get to hear that very often because I feel like when we were growing up, homeschool was like there was a certain idea about it. But now with our generation of moms, I feel like homeschool is really picking up in popularity just across the board.
It is.
So you're right. I love getting to talk about homeschool here on the podcast anytime I get to because I know that there are moms that are way more seasoned than me. But I also know that we're all asking the same questions.
Yeah.
So I would just love to know, as kind of a last question for you, what encouragement do you have for the mom who is kind of in the middle, right in the middle of making homeschool decisions for her children?
Yeah. So my encouragement would be to you that if you're feeling overwhelmed, which Jenna talked about, if you're feeling overwhelmed with this decision, take a step back, take a deep breath, and thank God that you're able to make those kinds of schooling mm-hmm. decisions for your family. Just thank him. And then pray for wisdom, pray for discernment, and pray that you would make the choice from a place of peace mm-hmm. and not a place of fear, because that's so easy to slip into being fearful about things. Cause these are our children, you know, we want to be wise, but make those choices from a place of peace. So ask him for that. And then know that he's sovereign over your school mm-hmm. choice, you know, and know also, ladies, that this is your special role. So God made you the mother of these children on purpose. And your position has been blessed by him. Okay. He's by him who made you, and he made these kids, and he's already ordained it. And you need to trust the authority that you have under God. Right. So I feel like I kind of want to go back for a second to encourage them to what you're saying is that when you're trying to do it all yourself and carry the load, right? Like you said, you can't. And that's when you lay it down and you trust God that he gives you the strength to do it. So know that he has given you the authority to do it because he's put you in this position.
Yeah.
And then the last thing I would say is that there is no better person to to make this decision for your kids. So be encouraged because you're able to do it and God has ordained you to do it. So have peace when you make those decisions.
Yeah, I love that. That's such great encouragement. And I think every mom will probably never get tired and never not need to hear that she is here on purpose, in this role on purpose. Maybe. Like, it's a God-ordained thing that you are doing. So I love that you mentioned that. And I just want to thank you again, Olivia, for coming on and sharing with us. We are so grateful for you. And just thank you so much for being here with us today.
Well, thank you. Yeah, thank you. I've had so much fun. It's been so fun to talk with you. So thank you.
Yeah, so much fun. If you found value in today's episode, the best way to thank me is by going to Apple Podcasts and leaving a written review. This helps me stay encouraged, but it also pushes this podcast out to more mamas that desperately need to hear about the joy and purpose that is readily available to them. So thank you in advance for being a part of this community and helping me get this message out to as many people as possible. You mean so much to me, and I can't wait to chat with you next week.